Hi, Henry Rung here with Dr. Roy Clouser, and we're wrapping up the introduction to philosophy class with just a little discussion of the philosophy of Christian philosopher Hermann Dooyeweerd. So as we've looked over these things, I know there's a couple of sections that we didn't really talk, and you just looked at the materials there, and that was great. I want to wrap up the course, however, with just talking about, do you see that Christian philosophy has a future? Do you see that taking this class here, in many ways, a lot of people have never heard of Dr. Hermann Dooyeweerd.
Right.
And here we're talking about how he saw the world from a Christian philosophy point of view.
Yeah.
As a minister, bivocational minister, someone who's studying here and studying philosophy, what really is your encouragement that can there even be a Christian philosophy, and is it worth studying?
Well, yes and yes.
Okay.
Dooyeweerd's insight here comes from the biblical doctrine of the heart of an individual, that all everything stems from the heart. And so all beliefs do. It's not that we have beliefs that are walled off from one another.
Right.
So whatever the heart is committed to as the self-existent origin of everything else,
right,
it is either the true God or it's some God substitute. And since that is a commitment of the heart, it can't be walled off from all its other beliefs.
Right.
So we expect there to be an influence. And it's easy to see this influence when it's not God that's been put into that role.
Right.
If someone has picked something else, and I mean some parts of creation, it's matter that's self-existent and it generates everything else, then you get a slant on an interpretation of everything else slanted in the direction of materialism.
Right.
So ethics tends to be treated as whatever causes pain is bad and whatever causes pleasure is good.
Ah.
Because you have to give a physical basis.
Right.
Right. So you would never self-sacrifice,
right,
on a physicalist view of ethics.
Right.
Okay. On the other hand, there's a rationalist kind of bias. If somebody puts the laws of logic, say, in this role, mm-hmm, as Aristotle did, then you have absolute laws, rules of taking in its influence on ethics again.
Right.
Absolute rules that can never be broken.
Right.
That's the way Kant views them.
Right.
So they are not guides to life. They are rigid, unyielding laws that you must always obey. So Kant ends up saying this: I would not lie, no, not to save mankind.
Hmm.
Now, you and I were talking about that the other day, about the people who hid.
Yeah, so my wife's family came to America after World War II, and in the rural places in the Netherlands would hide Jews and in the discussion, in fact, the ministers, the Protestant and the Catholic ministers were in cahoots together in the Netherlands back then. So talk about Christendom coming together. And the whole question, what would you say, and this was a discussion in the Netherlands, and I'm sure it had to do with Immanuel Kant's statement there about ethics. And, you know, if a Nazi knocked on your door and said, are you hiding Jews, the believers in the Netherlands, my wife's family, would say no. And then if someone charged them, well, that's not being honest or ethical. You lied to the authorities. They would say, no. The key question is, what's more loving?
That's right. And that's the Christian axiom. Love your neighbor as yourself.
Yes.
And that would override, well, usually that means don't lie. Yes.
Yeah, usually. Ordinarily.
Usually.
You would not lie.
But it's not a rigid law that has no exceptions.
Right.
Even the law of not to kill another person is not a rigid law that has no exceptions. If somebody's about to set off an atomic bomb in the middle of the city,
and I
have a chance to pick them off, I'm going to do it.
Right.
So, sure. So instead of making the laws like the laws of logic, exceptionless.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So you see again how the ethics gets interpreted depending on what somebody puts in the slot as being divine.
So a Christian philosophy would put Christ
as
the center of all reality.
The transcendent creator God who came in, incarnate in Christ, and that alone is what is absolute reality, self-existent reality that creates everything else. And that means we don't ascribe that slot, that kind of status, to anything in creation. Hmm. And the consequent will be that we don't bias the study of any aspect of creation, slant it toward another, because the other is what produces it.
Right.
Because there are no aspects of creation that produce others. God produces them all.
Right.
So when we let me give an example of what that would mean. That when we take a copper wire and heat it, mm-hmm. it turns green. It glows
right.
green.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So we say that heating the copper wire is the cause of the green glow.
Mm-hmm.
And at the local level, that's right. There's nothing wrong with that. But the fact that there are copper wires and they have the properties that they have is not the reason there are such things as green glows.
Right. I got that.
Because the sensory aspect of things has its own integrity and its own laws, and it has connections to the physical, but the physical does not produce it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a difference between what made this wire glow green now, mm-hmm. and why are there such things as green glows in the world?
Right.
Okay, so one aspect does not produce another. God produces them all. And all the kinds of properties that things have are under God's creation and sustaining control. And the laws that hold for them hold because God has set those laws over creation. And it gives us a different program, agenda, for explaining things.
Okay, so we're going to conclude this class now, but give you a little teaser that the Christian philosophy class that explores in depth the teachings of Dr. Hermann Doerr, a Christian philosopher, things like theory making, things like that there's a faith that, like, the book that you'll be reading is the Myth of Religious Neutrality, yeah. And it takes in more depth the philosophy of Hermann Doerr. So here's an opportunity for you. You're done with this class. This has been throw you in the water. This is a hard class. You know it's difficult, and you've made it this far. Now what you can take next is the Christian philosophy class that you have taught, and there's a philosophy religion class that we have here. There's more classes, more philosophy classes are coming. Because philosophy, just to end this whole presentation here, is remind us why, for ministry, philosophy is so important, or even for going on for further study, why is philosophy so important?
It trains you to think clearly, to demand clarity, to look for definitions where people don't give them. It looks for you to see what follows from what, logically, okay. and trains you in looking at the big picture. The overview of reality, the overview of knowledge, and so on. And in that sense, it's great training for doing theology as well. They're not identical,
right.
but they're akin to one another.
So, again, you made it through. You're on the last week. And as you explore your future in ministry or in whatever God is calling you to do, think clearly, love God with your heart, and take what you've learned here and glorify Him through it.
Amen.